The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Meet a guest for ranking things in Star Wars. It doesn't get any simpler or more fun than that. Last time out, we had the wonderful Lauren Romo from the Galactic Podcast coming here talking about her favorite episodes of Star Wars Rebels. That was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that. But welcome back to the show this week, Joseph Scrimshaw. Hello, sir.
Hello. I am very excited to have, as you put it so well, some simple fun. Rank some things in Star Wars.
But it's never that simple because, man, this is in our blood. It's in our hearts and souls. And Joseph, this week we're going to our favorite lines from A New Hope, our favorite lines of dialogue. Sometimes we do moments, we do the theme. This is dialogue, which can go in a lot of different directions and can weigh heavy on our decision-making shoulders, right?
Exactly, yes. This is just words, things that people say. I am very obsessed with words, very dialogue-focused when I watch things. And every once in a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, there are visuals, too. I like words, so I'm very excited to discuss this. But this is such a great example of our Star Wars ranked process of we try to think of some ideas that are like, as you said, simple and fun. How hard could this be? And this one ended up being, we thought of it because it would be simple. And it ended up being so hard being tortured between lines that have great meaning or lines that you've just repeated a million times so you know them, or so many lines that are like that fans repeat so and they have for decades, so they're iconic. It was really hard to get that mix.
There's a lot of lines in Star Wars, but particularly New Hope. I've said for, 40 years now or whatever, and a lot of them are just the villains or sides, but they've just become such a standard. I always make that joke of Rogue One of what is she proposing? The reason I say that all the time is that feels like a classic Star Wars line that I would have said on the playground every week for 12 years. Just, why is she? We get it, Ken. Shut up. It's funny. So there's a lot of those lines, but then also the ones that mean a lot of things. Lines you might want to get tattooed on you if you want to do that. Like, there's a lot of New Hope. It's the building block of a Star Wars in a way, because first one out of the gate, it's going to have a lot of influence. So I don't even know, Joseph, how you made your decisions. We're going to find out, obviously, but did you try to weigh it? Did you at least say, like, this one's a funny line, this one moves me?
Yeah, I tried to balance between the actual depth and ones that are just like, that's an iconic line by itself, like just a good line that you can almost kind of pull out of the scene a little bit. And then the main part of my process, and honestly what was the most torturous, is I was just like, I don't even need to rewatch the film. I know these, right? And the first list I made, I realized, like, you've written down 10 lines and they're all Obi-Wan Kenobi. These can't all be Obi-Wan Kenobi lines. Almost everything he says is either like deeply important to Star Wars to me, mm-hmm. Really funny, just amazing delivery, a rhythm that sticks in my head and my soul. So the challenge for me was to make this not the best Obi-Wan Kenobi lines from A New Hope, and I only kind of succeeded.
Yeah, which we probably still need to rank officially, right? I don't know if we've even done that, which is crazy to think. I'm right there with you too. It's either on the playground or in my heart. Actually, all of them are, of course, in my heart, but like what hits and what moves you versus what's just fun to say. We're going to dive on in here. This is how we do it on Star Wars Ranked. We each have a list of about five. We have some honorable mentions as well. We're going to work our way 5-1. We always say, now we've just kind of a lot of times have started to phrase it as our favorite, even though this is a ranking. Sometimes we might go best because it's kind of one and the same, but these are the lines that grabbed us. Joseph, we're going to begin with your number five.
Yeah, my best favorite number five line from A New Hope. I am starting with Obi-Wan Kenobi. This was a torturous decision, but I had to go with this one. It is, for over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic, before the dark times, before the Empire. Couple reasons that I went to out of all the Obi-Wan Kenobi lines, even just his lines in the hut, could have done all the lightsaber lines. Yeah. This one kind of centers the storytelling of Star Wars, right? Mm. So much of what motivates Luke isn't just, I want to follow in my father's footsteps, but it's this great sense of nostalgia, this great sense of something that has been lost, that in the past there was nobility. There was balance. There were people who stood up for what was right. And we have lost that. That is so powerful just in general in the real world. It's sometimes like a true power. It's sometimes a manipulation, right? Of what weren't the before times better? So it could even have a dark connotation. I don't think it does in this instance, because it's telling the story of, look, the empire took over, Palpatine took over, but there was a long, long time where things were better because a hero picked up a blade and defended, you know, guarded peace and justice. It's a powerful idea. And just he's saying that while Luke's just waving around the lightsaber like it's a glow stick, like it's a curiosity, and he is laying this heavy meaning on top of it. So it's so important to the storytelling of what Star Wars is. It's important to the theme and the mood of Star Wars. This is one of the lines that makes it a space fantasy, right? Yeah. And makes it so nostalgia was always baked into Star Wars. Obi-Wan is being nostalgic about the better part of his life. And then the final thing for me on this is the depth, the rhythm of the delivery before the dark times, before the empire. I can't tell you how many times I or friends of mine have referred to, you know, something, the moment that's not going well, of like a bunch of friends had their lives going pretty well. Then we all lost our jobs and had breakups. And we'd be like, yeah, but that was before the dark times, before the empire. Like it's a line that my friends and I have used and laughed at to cope with life, you know?
Which just adds so much extra layers and meaning to this line. I love this as well. It's so funny when you said this, I go more to, this is not to dispute your choice here, I go more to the Rogue One teaser trailer.
Right.
Because it was so effective. And I think this line has always been in my brain since I was a kid, 6 or 7. I get that. But without Rogue One teaser trailer, like just re-highlighted the power and purpose of this line, including especially the before the dark times, to your point of just the story of Star Wars, like this is where we're in. Like Kenobi's saying it, we are in dark times. That's where our story is. And we are connected to the past and the future, and we got to get to the future. So a lot of meaning, a lot of weight to the line, and just wonderfully delivered.
Yeah, in great in Rogue One. And also just it's the log line for the entire High Republic, storytelling adventure, right?
Yeah.
It just that we're finally telling that story, and that story, you know, really ignited in people's imaginations. And I would argue the prequel era is telling that too, but it's toward the end when things aren't going well. And the High Republic is just, you know, a part of those thousand generations when the peace and the justice is being guarded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great start.
Excellent.
Big, epic. That's like a poster worthy line. It's a log line, like you said.
Yeah, that's my number five.
Your number five is Kenobi, and so is my number five. It's the Kenobi show. Hey, it is what it is. I am starting my list with this one. I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm too old for this sort of thing. So obviously now I think I understand this line a lot more than I did when I was 7. But I love that. I just think Star Wars is, we always talk about it's generational, or it's about passing things on to the next generation. Star Wars is for kids, all those things. And here's Kenobi kind of saying that as well. You know, I need your help, Luke. I can't do this alone. She came to me. She put the message in the droid. I'm this old hero, but I can't do it. I need you, and you've got to get involved. You know, Luke wants to run away at this point. He wants to leave, but oh man. Now that I've got enough, I can't do that. I got to play small, and him kind of putting that out there so plainly, and Kenobi realizing, and yes, now as the story expands, we know where Kenobi is in his life and Luke's purpose and all those kind of things, but just Kenobi in this moment going, this is no longer my story, and I need to pass it on. And the fight now comes to you, and I'll help as long as I can or do my purpose, but it's no longer me. I think that's powerful as well as just kind of funny because I'm too old for this. Boop is also entertaining as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the earliest versions of I'm getting too old for this bleep, you know, is really funny. And as a young kid too, I was like, oh yeah, he's so old. He's not that old in the film at all. Age wise. But yeah, you as a kid, you can be like, yeah, no, his back's going to give out. I've seen that happen to older people. And that's, you know, that's maybe that's a part of it. But that is so not the focus. And it really is like, you know, Leia's saying, you know, you're my only hope. And he's refuting that right away. This is basically Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, yeah, you know, the title of the film should be A New Hope. Yeah. And it's not me. It's you, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There you go. And I feel, yeah. And Carl Weathers soundbite from the Mando making of season one, where he's like, you know, a lot of stuff Star Wars was telling me that I needed to hear when I was young. I didn't hear. Like, I feel this from Kenobi on a lot of levels too. So,
yeah, absolutely. That is a great Kenobi choice.
So that's my number five, but we are on to your number four.
My number four is one of the more iconic lines that does get quoted a lot, and I think deserves it on every level. It is Vader saying, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." This is an iconic line, I think, for a great reason. Vader is, you know, a risk from Lucas's perspective, right? When he makes his film of, is it going to work? And he ends up being, you know, iconic, one of the greatest movie villains ever. And this line is one that I think sets him apart in a good way of, you know, he's this sort of weird, unreadable, angry, terrifying monster in a mask in the movie. And then he's at this board meeting, right? Yeah. With all these guys in suits bickering. And he's like, just by the way, this Force thing, it's more powerful than all your BS. And if you really look at, you know, that first film is more political and uses the words of religion much more, right?
That's
entirely how Mahdi goes after him, right? Of the, it isn't giving you clairvoyance enough. You haven't been able to conjure with your sorcerer's ways. Which is such a great setup to, you know, kind of an early bad guy quip, right? Mm-hmm. Of the, that great contrast of choking Mahdi, which is, you know, disturbing, but also giving us information about the Force and how the dark side of it works, in this great contrast with this line, this like, look, I think it's just got that cool mood of like, I don't even have to break a sweat to kill you with my mind. And in order to even to make that clear, not just to you who I'm choking right now, but to everyone else in the room, to not mess with me is I'm going to kind of tease and poke you while I murder you with my mind.
But also, sorry, I don't want to, if you got more, please. As much as, and I, the Rogue One line with Krennic is not my favorite, but as much as I do fight against the, you know, don't choke on your aspirations, Vader's always been a little quippy.
He's always been a little quippy. Yeah, he doesn't like being questioned, and he will push back with snark. And the reason that I love this line, and I wrestle with the Rogue One line, is I think it's about power and intimidation. It is. Mm-hmm. It's not just the choking. It's the dark side. But he's not angry. He's not even breaking a sweat. He's just like, you're so far beneath me. I can kill you all so easily. And the key thing is, and don't anyone in this room ever forget that. And that's why the Rogue One doesn't work for me. He doesn't have anybody to intimidate. Like Krennic's perfectly scared.
Yeah.
He's being choked. He's having a terrible board meeting, a business meeting in a railless lava castle. He's frightened.
I totally agree on that. But just a reminder of he's always, you know, got something to say, that Vader. And what I love here, the dynamic of it is how you mentioned like the religion thing and everything, and how Vader just is standing tall in what he believes. He's got some twisted views on it, to be clear. But this is a business meeting, and no one in that room really accepts Vader being above them in any way, shape, or form, right? Like, it's this command structure. He's got power. They get it. But he's Palpatine's lapdog to a lot of them. And mm-hmm. I love that play, and I love him fighting back in that way. You know, it's you got to be careful how far you root for Vader. But there's something about him just going, no. You're not going to talk to me like that.
Yeah. No, and I get so into the depth of it. You're really right to point out just like the great surface contrast where the comedy comes from. Of, we picture faith as, you know, a beautiful thing that helps us through dark times, not a thing to call out while you are choking someone with your mind. And that is what gives it its punch.
And it's choke and it's oomph. Yeah. That's great. I find your lack of faith disturbing. And it's one of those lines you can definitely use out of context in your life as well. Just don't choke. We don't recommend choking anybody.
No mind choking. Yep. So that's my number four.
Great number four. My number four, we're going to the rebellion here. We go to the good side. It is Red Leader himself, Garvin Dave Drace, saying lock S foils into attack position. Man. I love this line. I've got a bad feeling about this. The Wilhelm scream, there's a lot of traditions in Star Wars. This is one that I never really want to go away. I've always loved it. I have been obsessed with it since I was a kid, and I've talked about and written about and celebrated that later on in Return of the Jedi, when Wedge Antilles gets to say it, and the promotion of Wedge and the power of Star Wars traditions and all those kind of things. I'm just always been there for it. And when it pops up again, Clone Wars, Revenge of Sith comes to mind. And then it just even Essel Foyles being explained and referenced a little bit more in Alphabet Squadron. I just love it. And it begins with this line. And, you know, as a kid, I don't know what S foils are or what it means. I just know you got to lock them into position if you're going to fight. And I did that as a kid. Now, even if I was playing with my Kenner toys or my space Lego sets from the early 80s, a lot of the designs, you know, loosely inspired by some Star Wars or even Star Trek stuff or Battlestar Galactica stuff, dare I say, don't tell Lucas. it's a lot of the Lego space sets in that time, some of them had like S foils, for lack of a better term. So it carried over into my life in other areas when I'm playing around with toys as a kid. So it's a weird tradition. It doesn't have any great meaning other than you got to get ready to go fight for justice in the galaxy.
I think that is its meaning. And, it isn't super complex or super deep, but it is still powerful. Like, I mean, this is like sports better than I do, but this feels like, you know, something the coach says and then everybody yells it back and they go, right? It's got that energy of we are doing this. We are committed. We are not backing down.
Yeah. And I know they're called strike foils, and that's something that, comes into your life later on. But when you're seven and you're just sitting there and you're like, we are going for the fight of our lives, and this is like what you got to do. I think you're right. It does have that meaning, whether you fully grasp it or not, sitting in the theater, chomping on popcorn, seeing it all for the first time, or at your home theater now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's one of the many, many lines in A New Hope where the meaning is clear, like get your ship ready for battle, you know, mm-hmm. do this to it to get it. And you visually understand it because they do open up. But it's one of those great tip of the iceberg lines where it builds the world. We were like, I don't know what an S foil is, but everybody in those ships do. So there's so much more to dream about, to fantasize about.
You're 100% right. And talk about just the simple design. Yes, I'm a Y-wing fan. The X-Wing is the quarterback of the team. It's sexy. It's sleek. It's that design. What a visual as you're heading into the Death Star fight here to lock S foils and attack position and the wings open up. It's like it just hits on a lot of like, ooh, chords as well as having the great meeting. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great choice.
All right. Thank you, Red Leader. We're going to go into attack position, but we are also going to go to your number three here in our favorite lines from New Hope.
My number three, we are going to the scoundrel we all love, the scoundrel with a heart of gold, or maybe a scoundrel with a heart of coaxium, Han Solo. So many great Han Solo lines, and I was very tempted by what I think is one of the funniest lines in Star Wars of we're all fine here, how are you? Mm-hmm. But I found myself gravitating to a line that I think I have taken for granted and wanted to re-examine, and that is when they're escaping the Death Star. Han and Luke manning the guns of the Falcon, and Leia's letting him know that they've lost the lateral controls. And Han says loudly, "Don't worry, she'll hold together." Then quietly to the Falcon itself, "Hear me, baby, hold together." And this is the beginning of a very classic thing with Han. It happens a ton in Empire Strikes Back. It returns in Force Awakens. The loud bravado, "It'll be fine," spoken clearly and loudly, and then the truth spoken a little bit more quietly to himself or Chewie or the ship itself. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that's like, it's a great, just solid laugh line. You see the film 1,000 times, you can forget that, like, that's just a solid laugh line. And it's one of the things that gives so much personality to the Falcon, right? That Han talks to it like your parents talk to their cars, especially back in the day in the 70s of like, no, I put a lot of work into this car. Hear me, car, don't embarrass me in front of the kids, like really giving it personality, like it's alive.
It is the template for Solo, and this taking nothing away from the we're fine here, we're all fine. I love that, and it's probably one that did that gets the headlines for good reason. But this line, you're right, it's a template, and you don't have to think too hard about it. It is the bravado of Han trying to overcome the truth that he doesn't want to face, and that's kind of him. And it is really funny. I, as someone who drove a very tiny 1991 Plymouth Colt blue Tic Tac of a car that would get on the freeway and have to mutter this every time I did it. it works on a lot of levels in the real world as well too. So yeah, it's Han Solo. This is truly him being the Han Solo, I should say.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes me wonder how often he talks to the Falcon. Like, you know, if he's having a whole conversations with her.
I absolutely think, especially if Chewie's off in the back sleeping and he's just up there, he's probably asking and yeah, you can get into L3 of it all, but I like talking about Kira, you know, sometimes upset, sometimes just missing her, or sometimes the Falcon probably answers, "Oh, I know that. Don't say that." I'd love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my number three, classic Han Solo line.
Classic one indeed. All right. My number three favorite line from A New Hope is, and I admit this is a little bit of a left field choice for me here. Princess Leia saying, "Governor Tarkin, I should have expected you to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board." So I just like it. I just like it. I also love it because there's a lot of lines, and some we're going to discuss, even in honorable mentions, that are Leia and the spirit of Leia, just like the Temple of Han we just discussed. There's the themes of Leia all through some of her dialogue. And it's a funny line because it is Carrie Fisher having the kind of affected British accent. She was trained as in London as an actor, and she was fresh off of that stuff. It's early in the shoot, and there's a lot of things behind the line itself. And now we know that in canon, it's explained that she was mocking Tarkin, which I now love even more. Just roll it all into one. And it's also reminds me of New Hope. When I think of New Hope, this is a line I think of, because even some of Tarkin's responses to her in this scene or other scenes of Yavatu trusting and all that kind of, it's the rhythms, the accents, and those, the melodic nature of some of the lines are just burned into our brains. And this is one that I just see all the time. I see her just spitting it out. And by the way, not for nothing, this is a teenage senator, daughter of rebels, spitting in the face of her enemy, just bravely going, whatever. I love
that. Yeah, charming to the last. This is such a great, great pick. I love everything that you're sharing about the history of it. You know, I don't think it took me a long time to realize, like, hey,
right,
she's British in this scene, because I was just so taken with the rhythm of it, like you're saying. But I love it. This is one of the things that, you know, I bang on about the adventure serial inspirations of Star Wars, talking kind of like structurally, but also just on like, why it was such a breath of fresh air in 1977, because it wasn't grim, it wasn't dour, it was back to these traditions of a hero who won't back down, right? Mm-hmm. And turning that trope on its head a little bit by having it be Leia back in the 70s, but this is straight out of Flash Gordon of like, oh, so you captured me, you locked me up, you tortured me, I am in your battle station at your mercy, and I'm just going to make fun of everyone in sight to make sure that you know I'm not afraid of you.
Yes.
You know, to start with, like, I should have expected you to find you holding Vader's leash. Yep. That's two insults in one, right?
Yep.
That,
yep.
Vader is just a dog on a leash, and that's all you're good for is to stand there and hold it. Two insults in one. And then, I mean, I recognize your foul stench when I was brought on board. That's not the most clever or cutting remark, right? But it is just like, this is how not afraid of you I am, is just say like, you stink on every level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you stink too. Yeah, no, great. And yeah, look, and she, you know, you can analyze the moment in the movie. She's probably got a little confidence because, you know, the Senate's still kind of a thing. Bail, daughter of Bail and Breha, all those kind of things in Star Wars story. You can look at it and a little bit later, the loss of Alderaan is them kind of like, okay, you got insults, you got words, here's what we're going to do. And you can get dark and follow that path. But I just think as for Leia in this moment. And it's also early in the movie. You know, it's our introduction in a lot of ways to her, and it just works so well. And then plus, you know what we end up knowing and just learning of Carrie Fisher and who she was and is and always will be in our minds. This tracks too.
It tracks. Yeah. It sounds like a line she probably enjoyed saying. Yeah. And I think that's the great thing about it to me. It's not that she isn't afraid. It's that mastering the fear and pushing back, you know?
No, excellent point. Excellent point. I totally, that's correct. I agree with that as well. there you go. And go into the Vader's thing, like not having a lot of sympathy for Vader in this moment, but you know, you got Modi saying, whatever, your sorcerer's ways. And you got, oh, Vader's leash. Like he's probably goes to bed at night in that castle going, why does no one respect me?
Right, said devotion to ancient religion. I don't have a leash.
He probably just talks to Vinay, and Vinay's like, yes, I understand.
Yes, my lord, may I take your arms for your bath?
I try so hard. All right. So from Leia insulting with a 2-for-1 special with Tarkin and Vader, that's my number 3. We're going to go up to your number 2 favorite line in A New Hope.
My number 2 is one that is personal for me. It's one that I have talked about a lot on Force Center. I first kind of liked it just because it made me laugh, and it was a line that people didn't really talk about. It's not one that got quoted on the playgrounds and the bars of our fandom, but I've just really come to deeply, truly love it, and it is Luke Skywalker's great quote, I care. if people have not heard me talk about this before on Force Center, I'll keep it short. It's a little bit of going back and forth dynamics between Luke and Han, and Leia saying, Han seems real great. I wonder if he really cares about anything. And then Luke trying to say to her as she goes away, she's stomping away mad at Han, I care. It's unclear if Leia heard him, responded, just too mad, but it's just really that over the shoulder nature of it of like, well, yeah, I'm not a jerk. I care. It's so sweet. It's so innocent. It's so human and real. But I also just think it's like, it's true. It's bound up in this funny dynamic between Leia and Han and Luke all meeting each other for the first time and being these big personalities with different perspectives. And that's like just kind of how it functions in the scene is a funny line. But it just resonates with me because it feels like it's true, and like it carries through with Luke even when he's grumpy, he's really depressed. It's because he cares so much, and I think it's true. I think I relate to that too, because when I was a kid, there was a lot of, are you a daring, cool guy like Han, or are you kind of like a sensitive guy like Luke? You know, and you know, being more the cool of like, you know, sorry about the mess, Han. That was a cooler person to be than to be the guy who's like, I care. Tell me more about your problem. Can I do the homework? Do you need any help? Like, that's not the cool guy, but that's who I was, you know? So I think I relate to it too, of like, I am the guy who would probably in an uncool way yell out after to a person I just met who I want them to like me. Like, I care.
I absolutely love what you're saying, because you know, I as everyone knows, like I'm a Han Solo guy, but I'm a Han Solo guy because I'm an I care guy who wanted to be the sorry about the mess guy and always was trying to look up to him. And that's not, you know, and you love Han. And that's why I'm telling everyone when Force Awakens comes around and I looked that, oh, I had grown up to be the curmudgeon who kind of runs away from what's deep in his heart because he is an I care guy. Right. That's Han. Yeah. That's what Kira tells him. Kira said, you care. You're just not there yet. You need to get there, buddy. And so I think you're spot on with that. And this is Luke. And when Luke is frustrated later on, it's like sometimes he wants to just burn it all down, run away. But at the end of the day, he's like, God, I care. God, I can't get rid of that.
Right. There's a direct connection between I care and the sacred Jedi texts, right? Because he's talking a big game. I'm going to burn it down. And you know, it's like, no, you're not even. I'll do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so small line, big meaning indeed. And of course, yeah, this is not surprises on your list. You use it in a show regularly here. But what I love about that is because it grabbed you early on in your life. And this probably comes at, you know, almost like I'm interviewing here, but like this is probably something you saw and you were like, this, I see myself in this moment with Luke. which is your unique experience as a Star Wars fan, but then it's seen and shared by so many, but we feel we're alone on that island. This would have been what made you and I friends in high school. Like, you would right? have said it, I care. And I would have been like, Luke? And you'd be like, well, yeah, Luke. And I'd be like, oh, man, you get it. That's why I love this line as well.
Yeah, that's great. I am happy that I get to celebrate it so much on Force Center. So that's my number two, I care.
I care indeed. All right. My number two is also Luke Skywalker. We're really synced up on some of our choices in terms of characters. But as a weird note, that, you know, we submit our lists here or at least some of our choices so we don't, double up. And there are times where you and I might double up on choices and we draw straws and Joker drops a broken, pool cue stick in the room and we fight over him. this is oddly enough, you and I, no repeats at all. Just we both went to different parts of the movie. And I love that. But
yeah,
the character's the same here. I'm going Luke Skywalker saying if there's a bright center of the universe, you're on the planet that's farthest from man. So growing up, I grew up on the central coast of California, which, close to LA, close to San Francisco, but felt like just lifetime away from all of it. I know you grew up, a couple different spots, but, most attached to Minnesota and everything, but probably felt the same way out there. And so this is part of New Hope's story, the twin sons, all that stuff. I think this is the moment where you just get it. And even though whether you saw it in 77 or any point you watched this film for the first time, if age doesn't have to matter, but you might be younger. And you might be feeling this. This is what you're feeling. The Twin Sons is powerful and epic and moves us and has so much meaning. But I think you get the Twin Sons comes along and it means what it means because you heard Luke say this and you're like, yeah, you're so right. I'm from this far from the center of the galaxy too in my own life. It's our own personal Modesto right here in this moment.
Right. Yeah, it is just so immediately understandable, right? And years later, you're like, oh, well, wow, Luke is literally right. Tatooine is on the outer rim and Coruscant is the actual core and the important planets, like, but it's not about that, right? It's just that emotion. Like, just in the beginning, he's just like, ah, he's Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life. He just wants to shake the dust of this crummy town, this crummy planet, the sand of this crummy planet off his cool boots and go out and have a life.
Yeah, you could have been raised in New York City and still feel like you are far from where you want to be or far from the life and the world you want. I totally think that's why New Hope works so well. And just Luke at this moment. And yeah, he is, pouty, whiny, wants to go get his power converters and all that stuff. Yeah, that's part of it too. But that's just what they were playing, I think, in my mind. And I just always loved the mumbling, but being just really aware of where you are and not feeling you can do anything about it, which again sets up the twin sunset scene there. So,
yep, a great line by a grumpy young man as he does his chores,
which is also describes Ken in Arroyo Grande, California, 1988. So that is my number two. We did your number two, which means we are going to take a quick break here on Star Wars Ranked. On the other side, honorable mentions and our number one choices for our favorite lines in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Stick around, Star Wars. Hey, Force Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Force Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. I'm Ken Napsok here with Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are ranking our favorite lines of dialogue in Episode 4. also known as Star Wars, also known as A New Hope, also known as Star Wars 77. I've even seen that listed a few times there. So we have got some honorable mentions we want to talk about. Joseph, what's on your list here?
Yeah, I had to throw in a couple more on the honorable mentions here. One that's just like not a amazing line, but just one that has a specific rhythm that has been quoted by fans forever because it's super helpful in day-to-day life. And that is, of course, the well-known character, Davis Krail, Gold 5, saying, "Stay on target. Stay on target." Right? Like, I mean, you could just use that for you're going to grocery shopping and you're trying to remember to look for the milk first. Stay on target. Right? I mean, it's just so rhythmic. Right?
That is, again, a line. If you had said that in eighth grade, we would have been best friends for the rest of our lives. Because my friend Joel, who I met in ninth grade, we still that. Well, I'll just get a random text or if we see each other again, he'll say something like that. Or I'll just go, "I can't shake him." And you're there.
Love it. Yeah, stay on target, which I'm going to do right now by sharing some others. One of the more meaningful Obi-Wan Kenobi lines that I needed to throw out as an honorable mention is, "You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine." Mm-hmm. I really love that one because it is the Vader and the dark side as this symbol of like just aggression and death are power. And Obi-Wan saying, like, "You don't even understand the battle you are fighting. Those things are not going to win at the end of the day. You know, you can strike me down, but you still won't achieve what you want to." And then I think for longtime fans had a lot of fun debating this line of like, that sounds really cocky. That sounds like he's going to be like, "This isn't even my final form." And he transforms into like Uber Kenobi, you know? and so there's like fun fan debate around that line. And then I love that Kenobi talking big, you know, "I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine." And then what it is, the huge power is communication, you know, empathy, that he can still be there for Luke, that he can still help Luke. And from Kenobi's perspective, that's being more powerful than you can possibly imagine is I can still help your son, Vader. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, man. And plus the use of Darth.
Yes, the controversial use of Darth as though it is a first name. Yep.
Old Keith Vader.
Do you want to throw in a couple?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sticking with Kenobi there. I do love the Force can have a strong influence on the weak-minded. Just kind of because it's kind of the same vein of just like it's the truth. It's also a little confident, you know, airs towards cocky if you want to look at it that way. But that also now I'd say keeps in line with Kenobi. Yep. So it tracks. And we've talked about this a lot of just the what Alec Guinness put down on that film. You could build so much and they have built so much from just the way he performed, which is why he's a legend indeed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also for me, Han Solo saying, "I don't know, I can imagine quite a bit." Just love the tone, love the feeling, and I've kind of got that too, especially when everyone's like, "Well, what's your rate?" It's like, "Oh, do you want me to answer? Because I'll give you what I think it is." Another one for me, I'll kick back to you here, is 3PL telling R2-D2, "This is all your fault." Works on a lot of levels, works on the relationship level, but also just the irony of saying that to R2-D2, where it kind of is all his fault in the sense of he's the reason the story's even moving with those plans.
He is busy saving the galaxy, and for 3PO, it's like, "You've caused me discomfort. Yeah. This is all your fault." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great 3PO line. For me, one other Obi-Wan Kenobi one I had to throw in, it is not the most deep or the most meaningful, but it is one of the most quotable and fascinating, is the Mos Eisley spaceport. "You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy." Part of it's the rhythm. Part of it is just like, did that just roll off the tongue, Obi-Wan? Or did you have somebody sit down and write that for you? Because, you know, wretched hive of scum and villainy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a part of me in the Kenobi TV show, like, I want to see him have a really bad time at the spaceport, because that is a strong opinion.
Yeah, or maybe he gets drunk and they throw him out and he's out in the street yelling, "You wretched hive of scum and villain." That's what you are in there. I love that line. Yeah, and the tag of, "We must be cautious," is also, it's almost its own line. It's so great.
Yes, we must be cautious. Yeah. Final two for me. These are, for me, modern lines, new lines that I've got to enjoy. One is from watching the movie with the captions on Disney Plus, and most of Chewie's roars are written out as "arg." So one of my favorite lines is Chewie in almost any situation going "arg."
Love of that.
And the final one for me is the newest line in A New Hope, and that is McClunky from Greedo.
Absolutely, man. I love that one. I really do. I'm not just putting on airs, man. I think that's hilarious. I think it's funny, and I love that George was like, "What about this?"
It's hilarious, and it keeps the mystery of the film evolving. And you know, all of Greedo's stuff is great. Hearing that the alien language really added a lot to it, and hearing this line that cannot be translated, yeah. No caption. We don't know what McClunky means.
A couple more for me here. Look, there's some big ones. You know, someone has to save our skins into the garbage chute, fly boy. That's good. You've taken your first steps in the larger world. There's a lot of those lines I think could easily make my list that didn't. Who's the more foolish to fool, the fool that follows them, that are just these deep philosophies. So I want to acknowledge that those are there and those are on my list as well. But final two ones for me is we got Han Solo. I just always love the spirit of, well, bring him on. I prefer a straight fight to all this sneaking around. Always Han, that's always him, combined with the muttering under his breath. There's something about that. And that's also not necessarily the best plan.
You can smash cut to him actually doing that, right?
Yeah, there's something about it, the energy of it too. And then for me, this has been since I was a kid. It might be the first line that I tried to always, like, if I'm doing an impression of Vader, I always go, "Commander, tear this ship apart. He found those plans and bring me all passengers. I want them alive." Clearly, I'm not doing James Earl Jones justice there. But like, even when I was seven, I would do that line down to just the rhythm and the beat and the tone and everything that was done in that voice. And this is one of those lines that I give a lot of credit to David Prowse, just what he's doing in the suit, just the energy there. And James Earl Jones has to match that. And I think they do. And also because, you know, James, the VO quality's good, but it's a little different, a little more echoey in New Hope. And this one just kind of, you could hear it ringing off the walls. I love it.
Yeah, and it is that you get to see Vader actually mad, right?
Yeah, and it's like your boss is having a bad day. Steer clear, not a good thing. He's creating a toxic environment. Things aren't good here. And there's a lot of things I just as a kid, I just always loved the rhythm of that line for some reason.
This is a toxic environment.
Yeah, what if a stormtrooper turns to the camera? This is good. All right.
Don't disagree, but very funny way to phrase it.
Yeah. All right, number one. We're getting to our number one choices. There are favorite lines in Star Wars A New Hope. And there is, oh my God, I just looked at my list wrong. I stepped on a line. Okay, don't worry. So my number one choice is from Obi-Wan Kenobi, "You've taken your first step into a larger world." I forgot to put a number down by that list, and so I thought it was an honorable mention. But no, that is my number one choice. I stepped on my own punchline. So clearly, I love it. And talk about generations, even with thinking of, you know, Force Awakens of Rey, "These are your first steps. Rey, these are your last steps." I it's not cheesy to me. I love it. I love the connection. I love what this means. And, you know, if you want to hear George talk about what he made Star Wars for, I think he might say, this is the line. I'm telling 12-year-olds, you're taking your first step in a larger world. Get ready. There's some stuff coming down your way and some choices to make. So for me, this line represents a lot about what's going on in this movie, a lot of what's going on in this franchise. Just centers Kenobi in this movie. It's just the heart. And because we feel, you know, the loss of Kenobi in this film, other than just being part of this hero's journey, all that kind of stuff, we can break it down that way. Just, I've always felt he is calm. He is center. He is the parent. And we as an audience have to learn to grow past death at some point, tragically. And I think there's a lot to that there. And it's lines that, like, this line that make me just miss Kenobi even more when it does happen and feel Luke's pain, because he's there, this is your first step and I'm here with you for that. And I'm going to keep guiding you. And it's a big loss because of that. And this line kind of helps me even feel that loss more.
Yeah, no, I think you're saying some great things. This is a great line. And in one of my, it was on my list of 18 Kenobi lines for the best lines. There's so much power in it. I love thinking about it from Kenobi's perspective. And there's even a shot I've come to really appreciate of Kenobi really watching to see if Luke's going to be able to do it, you know. But from his perspective of, like, from Obi-Wan's perspective, Luke is the new hope, right? He's been waiting all these years to begin training him when the time is right. He's got this naysayer Han going, he knows that Luke is possibly like his father, you know, kind of stubborn and maybe having a hard time opening himself up to seeing things in a different way because he's so certain of everything, right? And Obi-Wan's sitting there wondering, is he gonna be able to do it? You know? And then he does. He does open himself up. And it for Obi-Wan, it's got to be this moment of just validation of like the first step in training him, he opened up. And that's all I needed him to do. You know, sometimes people talk about teachers being like, you know, they don't just tell you things. They open doors for you and then you can go through or not. And it feels like that's what this is yeah. Obi-Wan opened the door and Luke went through. And Obi-Wan is kind, supportive, calm. And tells him this great point of view truth of like, you have all of these assumptions about the way everything in the world works because you're young, because your uncle told you this way. And this is what coming of age is about. You need to open yourself up and imagine seeing things in a different way. And you will discover this larger world. It's really philosophically powerful and strong.
Beautiful, beautiful. Not to undercut that with dumb comedy, but I also love the addition of now he can go, yes, I could tell Yoda was right.
Right.
The line, the extended line should be, you've taken your first step into a larger world. Yoda says it was your sister, but oops.
Right. I think he is. He's sending a force email in his mind to Yoda saying, the boy is on the path.
But my number one choice. I appreciate your additional insight there. Love it. So now we are on to your choice for your most bestest, favoritest line in Star Wars Episode 4 and New Hope. What do you got?
My number one is me cheating. I combined two lines to get two in there. One is one is about Kenobi, but they're both lines from Leia Organa. The first one is, I think, one of the most iconic lines of Star Wars, quoted a lot in context of Star Wars, in context of not Star Wars. But it is, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, right? Yeah. That is a Star Wars line that people who've maybe even never seen Star Wars would know that line, right? Yep. Know the rhythm of it. But the line gets so elevated, I think, when it works in the film, but when the title gets put on after Empire Comes Back, 81 re-release, it becomes Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, right? It gives this line even more power that we've got this character, Leia Organa, this young woman who has been trained to be a leader, to be a part of this dangerous rebellion because she has to be. It's the rebellion's most desperate hour, and this is the time finally where her father says, but these Jedi Knights, these guardians of peace and justice, there are still a few of them around and we need them. That's your mission. Go get this Jedi Knight. And now even more danger and peril and desperation, bring him these plans. And so like, that whole speech is just like, it's a great persuasive argument from a brilliant young woman saying, I absolutely need you. You are my only hope, right? So extremely important to Star Wars, extremely important to everything that you're talking about of in Obi-Wan's great line of, I'm getting too old for this. Like Obi-Wan's perspective, I'm not the only hope. His perspective, Luke is. But then the other line I wanted to pair it with from Leia is the one you mentioned as well in the honorable mentions is the somebody has to save our skins. Into the garbage chute, flyboy is fun and funny and great. But this moment of Leia being entirely proactive, right? They have come to rescue her in what is ultimately a bumbling way. They've just backed her into corridor. They don't know how to go. They get some great comedy out of it. And this perfect Leia moment of taking the blaster from Luke and just saying, this has to be done. Somebody has to do it. So I'll do it. It's a fun action. It's a great line all by itself. Mm. But for me, it speaks to what she's saying in the hologram of thinking the older generation is the only hope, right? Or even answering the idea that Luke is the only part of the new hope by seeing her just be proactive, being somebody who says, if there's a problem, I'm going to do everything I can to solve it, is kind of an answer that it's understandable why she says you're my only hope to Obi-Wan Kenobi. But the real truth is he's not the only hope. She is a huge part of the hope.
Absolutely. Again, Yoda would agree, but everything there tracks. Everything just takes Leia all through this story to the very end. It's what she does. And such a spirit. You know, I mentioned a little bit in the honor mentions, but like that's carries energy and that makes that line even more powerful to me, you know, because it's probably so true and probably what she was thinking of many times in her life. Somebody has to save our skin. So, yeah, well paired, like some wine and cheese choices. That's good pairing.
Well, thank you. It is some delicious Star Wars wine and cheese we've had today, I think.
Mm. Oh, man. I think you actually suggested this topic. We may have stumbled onto, a new Star Wars ranked series. Our favorite lines of every film, much like the toy line.
Oh boy, that would be really fun. And now that we've discovered how hard it is, I'm going to be ready to just make the choices and don't worry about them too much. Open myself to a larger world.
There you go. Wow, a lot of fun. Thank you for your list. Love it very much. What is your list? What are the lines that you love? I know we touched upon a lot of them today, but we'd love to hear them, especially the ones that make you laugh because you were seven when you saw it and it's a shared joke with your friends or it has a weird meaning to you. I would love to hear that. And you can do that by reaching out on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Rank. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook as well. You can get a free audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And don't forget, you can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Napzok or go to KenNapzok.com for more information, including upcoming comedy dates. And I'll be in New York City October 6th, 7th. Oh, gosh. I'll have to go to my own website to refer. It's on there. You'll find it. Joseph, where can they go for you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can go to my website for all my other comedy adventures. That website is josephscrimshaw.com.
Check it out, my friends. All right, so for the Stormtroopers are having a bad day at work. We'll see you next time. This has been another edition of Star Wars and Star Wars Ranked, because Star Wars has been ranked. Bye, friends.